The Millennial Express, plowing ever onward through a northern winter. From station to station, bringing the dissident right to you.
Hello and welcome back to Millennial 2023. We're on a bit of a strange schedule tonight, but we'll be back onto a normal one an hour from now. Okay, I'm now here with Roland from Cult Games. Now, Roland appeared last year to talk about, well, Heimat Defender, the first game, but also to talk about the second one, which was Rebellion. And that has now been released. Or is on the way, so we're going to talk about it more now. So, Roland, please take it away. What was the situation?
Hello. Yeah, thanks for having me again. I'm very happy that I can join you again on Millennial also this year. Our game is not yet finished. We hoped we could finish it before Christmas still. We didn't completely make it, but there is now a final release date, which will also soon be, announced via our channels, and we'll have a trailer out soon. It will be the 1st of February next year. That's the definite release date because the game is basically almost finished. We are doing some final bug fixing, a bit of polishing, but we also need to build up a little bit of infrastructure around the whole thing because we are, of course, as a right-wing or politically incorrect gaming company, are deplatformed and all that. So we will not release it on Steam, which is the biggest gaming distribution platform. Instead, we will release it on our own site. And we will also have a bit of, some infrastructure around it. We are not going to, like, build our own Steam or so. That's a bit of a too big a project for now, even though that is also something that would, I think, be very, like, a very, very interesting project for the future, like building up our own platform for not only games but, like, distribution of digital media of all sorts. So that's also something we're a bit working on the side, and it takes some time, and we want to get everything right and not finish release a half finished product, as is much too often the case these days in gaming. So yeah, but it's the game is, like, I would say 98% done.
All right, okay. The new one. And does it connect with the first game, or is it entirely separate? Because I remember you said that you wanted to do something very different with this one.
Yeah, I mean, it is. This game has, at this point, kind of a long history because, like, I mean, it's been 2.5 years since we started development. And in the beginning, it was supposed to be like a straight up sequel, just basically the same thing again. And as I said already last year, I found it a bit boring. So new people joined the team during the development. In the beginning, it was also pretty much just me and Retro Rebel, who wrote the soundtrack of the first game also. Yes, exactly. I'm a defender. but then new people joined the team and they also brought their own ideas into it. And oh yeah, this is the final boss of the new game. Yeah. totally no coincidental, you know, similarities to real people. Yeah, it's HR Giga inspired, George Soros. Yeah. Nah, of course not. It's totally coincidental. As you can already see from that screenshot, we really, like, upped the the weirdness of the game in some aspects. So we really, like, started as this, like, from this political activism point of view, and the whole thing developed into, I think, at this point, more than just that. Because that is also something that has become quite, like, I realized over time that you know, just making political jokes or political, putting political memes in your art and in your media, it gets stale relatively quickly. So I think you need to do more than just that. So the game kind of picks up where the first game ended, but it goes a lot further, and it reduces the amount of like political scene, right wing scene fan service, and is more focused on like world building and actually creating something that is immersive and yeah, just fun to play.
How would you describe the world? You say world building. What is the world of this game?
The world in the Great Rebellion is, it is, of course, it takes the basic premise of like this dystopian cyberpunk world where like a big corporation is ruling over everything and people are like brainwashed and everything is, of course, I mean, there is obviously like the political satire element, like everything is insanely woke and you have like AIs that correct people's thoughts via implants in real time. And oh, wait a second. Sorry, I got a message. It is like that dystopian world, but we also did not just want to focus on the negative and also really like this time put in more in the game that is like referring in a positive manner to our European identity, to our European heritage. So to basically like this futuristic dark dystopia is kind of juxtaposed with like the more positive like the scenes that take place in the rebels hideout who fight against this system, where you can talk to people who will tell you about European history, about our heritage, about historical figures that feature in the game in some way, and of course also where you can just talk to characters that will like tell you lore about the game world and such. So we put in like there's actually a lot of text in that game, which is different from the first game. Like there. We've written a lot of text. It was a lot of effort to translate it to German this time, but we did it. So it's a mixture of like this futuristic sci-fi type world, but with like a, I guess you could call it a fantasy element, but it's actually like more like a mythological element is probably a better word to describe it.
Yeah, I had lots of screenshots from the first game, and I was looking for them now, but I can't find them. But my favorite remains the Angela Merkel floating head with all these cable, the sort of cyborg Merkel. That's absolutely hilarious.
I'm also very proud of it still. I mean, of course, like the political satire and then just making fun of certain figures is it is also in this game. Like we didn't get completely rid of that.
did Heiko Maas appear in the first one?
He did. Yes, he did. He did. There was like a little anecdote. One of the reasons I read that document where they, you know, they banned the first game, and there was like this document with the justification why it was banned. And one of the reasons was that like the Heiko Maas figure had like crosshairs that it aimed with at the player, like it aimed its weapons at the player, and the crosshair kind of looked like the NATO symbol. So, well, I don't know, they took offense with that it was like, I don't know, anti-NATO sentiment. That was way before the whole Russia thing, so I found that pretty funny. They took offense with that, yeah.
If I remember correctly, the original game, Heimat Defender, was on Steam initially, and then it got taken down.
Not really, it was, no. I mean, we handed it in. It went through the review process. At first, everything went fine. then the media pressure increased, as I already like I think said also last year, I'm pretty sure that there was actually also some interference from the government, from authorities. And then eventually, just before the game even like could be bought in the store, it was still like it was on the Steam store, but it had like a coming soon. It was on coming soon, and it was taken down before you could ever buy it. So we just put it on our own website for download. Wasn't a big problem back then, because it was a free download anyway. We didn't charge money for it. This time it's going to be a bit different. We actually want to sell it. We actually want to make money with it because we want to build like a proper gaming company. We want to make bigger and cooler and, you know, just, yeah, better games in the future. And it costs money. That's just how it is. Yeah. So we want to turn that whole thing into a sustainable business.
Yeah, we talked about this last year, and I think it bears repeating that what we want is an ecosystem where things don't need donations or charitable donations, but they actually work on their own. They're self-sustaining, so a business that can survive on its own. And the reason we want this is strength and vitality so that more things can be produced, more games can be produced, in your case. I think this is very important and admirable that you're doing something like this.
And I also think it has like, every person from our spheres that is that has a job and earns a living through like a company that is owned by our guys or whatever that is within that ecosystem that you mentioned is like one person that is freed from, you know, having to be scared from getting fired for saying the wrong thing publicly or whatever. It makes people freer, makes them free to do and express their opinions as they see fit. So I think it does like also have, I think every person that's freed from the having to exist in the treadmill under the constant threat of being fired for saying the wrong thing is a big plus.
Absolutely. That's a very secondary effect of all this. That we're gradually, it enables more of us to detach from this awful mainstream.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of building, right-wing parallel societies.
Yeah, indeed. Well, do you want me to show the footage from the new game?
Yes, I have recorded quite some footage, actually. Like it's about 20 minutes. I think it got turned out a bit longer than I planned. And yeah, I would like to basically just narrate it a bit and show the people like what the game actually is like.
Okay, I've never done this before. I don't know if it's possible for me to pause the game, pause the video in the middle, but I guess we'll find out. So here we go. Sorry, what were you saying? No, it doesn't look like it's possible to pause the video, I'm afraid.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I could be heard. Like if you did, did you hear my voice over the video? I got some message that the microphone was muted. Or was it your microphone that was muted?
Yeah, both. It automatically mutes them when a video starts playing. Let's try that again. See if we can unmute. Yes, I'm unmuted. Can you unmute yourself? Oh, yeah. Once the video starts playing, just that red button at the bottom.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Let's try again.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So now you can hear me, right? Okay, so that's the start screen of the game. Here you can see the protagonist with the supporting characters behind him. And I'm starting a new game. There are these two game modes, affirmative action and white male. One is, the easier one. Wait, can you make the game audio quieter maybe? Because I think people can't really hear my voice.
I think it would help if you raised your mic volume. I've raised it to the maximum.
Okay, is it better now?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the intro sequence. Yeah, so it takes place in the 21st century where an evil corporation taken over. Let's read the text out. They systematically destroyed the hopes that our world was built on and replaced it with their own global government. All things are now registered in the digital cyberverse. Every animal, tree, birth, marriage, contract, and person. Your every move, dream, and interaction. Your very thoughts are legally theirs. Or it's like, you know, there's that, but obviously. The reference of 13 developments in the real world. So yeah, the shadowy figures are scheming. Yeah, the music, by the way, like you can hear they're singing, it's by also from an artist. But could get on board. Synthwave artist. Yeah, so this is not a story of the protagonist, the introduction of the protagonist, that's you in the game. You don't really have a name because people don't have names anymore there, you're just human 1028. Just have a number, but... you know, you decide that you have enough and will not take it anymore. You're a disease and not cure, yeah. So basically the this is acting kinda like a 80s action hero. Speaking in one liners mostly throughout the game. So that's the yeah, so now he gets out of his pod and he has removed the neurochip from his brain and now goes to his workplace. Yeah, here in the beginning you can see the terminal where you can do various things. It's like kind of like an introduction to this world where you can surf the web, so to say. You can do various things in the beginning. In this case, we're choosing sexual fulfillment. Welcome to Masturbators content curated by AI technology, checking the blockchain. Your data shows some problematic subconscious bias in your recent activity. You prefer slim to curvy biological females within your age group. Yikes! We are downloading 2 terabytes of plus-sized homosexual porn to your smartphone. We will analyze your live medical data so we know you have used it. Remember, sex work is the only real work. -1 social credit. So yeah, you can already get into trouble before the actual game has started. So here with some nice global homo artwork, you are entering your workplace. Good morning, citizen of the world, human 1028. Upload your dream data to the blockchain. Yeah, in this world, everybody has to have their dreams analyzed every day to make sure that they don't have any problematic subconscious thoughts. Nice anti-white art. But you have now been replaced by a synthetic human and are not needed anymore, so now you can go home. But then it's found out that you have removed your neural implant. You're getting into trouble. You're closing your central banking digital currency account. They want to educate you.
or a threat to equality as laid out by the community standards of the corporation. As a white person, you are not entitled to a trial in order to atone for your privilege. Yeah, of course, it is called. Everything is also blatantly anti-white. But then Europa comes to save you, and she comes with me if you want to live. She teleports you to safety just before they catch you. And now you're brought to the Waldgang, which is like that hideout of the rebels. And which is like a big forest, beautiful, idyllic, natural place. And now you will have a tutorial where Europa tells you how the game works, how the controls work. So that's basically, that's the introduction of the game. That's how it starts. And yeah, you can... Okay, so this is the Waldgang, and here you can meet various people. Some of them are fashioned after real life people that people may or may not recognize. The Golden Man, a bodybuilder from Sweden. But they're not just there for fun. Like, you can unlock these, like, you could find these people during the game, these characters, and they give you then like bonuses. Like, for instance, this guy could heal you. You can also see the news, what's currently going on outside in Global Homo World. Here there is like a news broadcast telling you the happy news that there are only 15% white people left. More and more white people choose to undergo deracination surgery to heal them of their condition. So that's what's going on in the outside world while you're here. And this is a very important part of the game. It's the black market where you can upgrade your character. Like, in the missions, you gain negative social score. Basically, you're being punished for doing what you do in the game by the system. And with this negative social credit score, you can, here in the Waldgang, in the Rebels hideout, you can actually buy upgrades with that, because, you know, the more the system hates you, the more credit you have here. That's the idea. So you can upgrade your character, get new abilities, more health, get stronger, find better weapons in the games. And before every mission, Europa and some other characters later will give you a mission briefing telling you what your next... Yeah, this information makes a difference. I'm the one with the laser gun. As I said, he speaks in cool action hero one-liners. Yeah, that's it. Now the actual game starts. as I already mentioned last year, the levels will be randomly generated. I mean, not completely randomly. They have like, they're combined with like pre-modeled rooms, but they're reconfigured every time, and fight enemies. The enemies will find various things, items, money. With the money you can buy stuff in shops. Yeah, when you enter a room, enemies spawn, and yeah, here you can see the dynamic music system that we have in action. Like, when you enter the room, the music gets more it's faster and it's more like action-y. And it's not just that's like an actually like relatively sophisticated system. It's not just that we fade from one song to another, but there are transitions that are being played in the correct part of the song. Great to go between different tracks. So that's cool for also Retro Rebel did all that.
Yeah, I did. I've re-rendered the second part so that the audio is quieter. This is the first time I've done something like this.
Hey, all good. I hope people could hear me.
Saying. I can certainly hear you.
All right.
So, yeah, just wait a little minute for that. Here it is. So, okay, I'll start the second bit now. Okay. There we go, that's much better. So you can talk over this. You'll have to unmute. Yeah, you'll have to unmute. No, you're going to have to unmute.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Forgot it again. Nice. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Slang and
no, you've got to unmute once the video starts.
But I have unmuted, no?
No, do it again once the video starts. You've got to unmute after it starts.
Now you hear me, right?
That's good.
Okay. I guess I unmuted probably then. So yeah, that's the shop. Ran by the same guy who sells you the black market upgrades in your hideout. Actually have like a ton of different lines written that he says in like slang and Cockney slang. Like the guy who wrote the text is actually British, and he had lots of fun writing the dialogues for all the characters. So yeah, I've got some health and some new weapons. There's like fancy weapons in the game, like we really put a lot of effort into making it so that you could find a lot of stuff and also randomly distribute to every playthrough. It's kind of different what exactly you find. Here you can see one of the special abilities of the character that you bought in the Vulcan. You can float in the air for some time. So you have like tons of abilities, items, weapons that you can find to really like have lots of replay value. And make like deeper kind of gameplay where you have to like strategically use all these things. Yeah, that's the auto map where you can see the layout of the level, and also you can teleport yourself back to areas that you've already visited, so you don't have to like backtrack. And there's a very important game element of the game now in the companions. You can find like the spirits of European figures from European myth and history. This in this case is Marteus' spirit. And yeah, there's like a ton of them. There's a ton of art, and King Leonidas and King Arthur and Bismarck and the Red Baron, all kinds of figures. Like we have around 20, I think, in the final version. And they will give you additional attacks and powers that you will need, basically. Like, here you can see the attacks of the house, and that was like more like, he has a hammer, so it's more like a melee type guy. And these enemies have to wait until they open the field. And at the end of every level, there is, of course, a boss. Oh, yeah, this is the spirit of Joan of Arc. You can destroy enemy projectiles in your vicinity. Oh, yeah, so now this is the first boss. Like, before every boss can have, like, an intro video like that. Giant surveillance state robot with cameras, kind of a passion up for the beholder from Dungeons and Dragons because the cameras are kind of eyes. So yeah, it was the first boss fight, the first level, and after every level you return again to the Vulcan, to that hideout. There is also this flying saucer, which maybe will become important in the later part of the game, but I don't want to spoil anything. Yeah, and these are the characters that you can unlock. Here, for instance, you can unlock Herodotus, the Greek historian, and he will not only give you a bonus, he will also tell you the background to each of the characters that you can find as companion spirits in your game. In this case, he will tell about Charles XII of Sweden, whose spirit you can also find. And, you know, there is a little bit of a educational aspect, so to say, in the game that way. And yeah, he also will give you a bonus, so he also has some gameplay value. Right, that's Gus Fox explaining to the character for the first time when you meet him how the whole black market upgrade system works. But yeah, we don't have any social credit yet, any negative social credit, so we can't buy anything yet at the moment. Yeah, that's another of the people that you can, of the characters you can find. I'll leave it up to everyone watching who this person could be fashioned after. And of course, a very important character, the North of Sea guy. He gives the character, he gives the player. He gives the player armor if you find him. So yeah, basically, the longer you play, the more of these characters will show up in the Waldgang, and the more stuff they can give you, and the stronger essentially the player will get. So yeah, and here you have now the other characters of the Resistance. This is Ernst Laserstorm. He's the leader of the Resistance. So yeah, this is now Europa and the others giving you an introduction. Welcome to Resistance Europa. We have come from all across Europe to fight back. You can call me Nova, and there is Ernst Laserstorm. He's our leader on the ground. This is Mademoiselle Nova. She's very French. So yeah, we have various characters representing, of course, the various ethnicities of Europe. And yeah, now they're giving you like an intro to what the second mission will be about, where the corporation's robots are attacking the forest, the rebels' hideout, and where you also learn what your role is basically in the resistance. Europa has called for you to join the fight. I wish we could help you. They lauded their net zero carbon policy. Let me introduce them to my net zero globalist policy. Another snarky one-liner from our hero. And then you can talk to the characters some more, and they will tell you more background about the game world. Okay, so this is the third level, actually. Called Consume Land. It's basically a giant shopping mall where an entire country has been turned into just like a shopping mall essentially. And you fight all the consumers, those little Soycek characters. the colors are very bright and things look very plasticky looking. The advertisement billboards will attack you, so it's like basically consumerism is the topic of this level. Here the character already has like a bunch of companions following him. There's the Red Baron, Hermann the Karuskin, Joan of Arc, and Charles Martel, and they all have their special powers. when this guy can see the red gun shooting, shooting at enemies. So, and this is another boss fight. The Yas Queen, she's a pop star in this distant future, entertaining the dumb masses. Basically, it's Lizzo. I guess the resemblance is not too hard to see. She has a deadly twerk attack. No.
The deadly. That's hilarious. Lizzo thing. Just so funny.
We took lots of great pains into like animating her twerking, and like literally like our animator was like, "Why are you doing this to me? Why do I have to animate this?"
Then so, the last minute is here. My God, that's terrible!
I know, it's horrible. Like that, before you go onto that mission, like the other characters, even like they say, like there is like this one line, like where they basically pity you that you have to see these things. Yeah. It was just too funny. We couldn't not do it. We were thinking, like, should we really do it? But yeah.
There he is. Here we go.
You Nipple need to, tassels.
You need to unmute again. You need to unmute once the video starts.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Okay, we're going to see it a third time. So
it's very important that people see it in all its details.
Here we go.
So yes, she throws hamburgers at you. Actually, didn't finish this boss fight because I died, but then I just cut away the segment where I died because I thought it's embarrassing if I show that. So yeah, this is the what are these things called? Tassels? Which basically, yeah. So yeah, that's that. These were just two of the bosses we have and two of the levels. We have six levels in total in the game, and especially the last boss fight, where you already showed the screenshot in the beginning, is very epic and takes very long. Yeah,
that looks great.
Thank you.
Yeah, someone said this looks fun. Great music. Love the CRT effect of this.
Yeah. We put like we're gonna have like post processing effects. You can select them in the main menu. Then in the game, you can have like a retro CRT effect, or you can make it look like a Game Boy game or like a 16 color MS-DOS game. Like there are different retro filters available.
That's great. Doing various things. Yeah,
I bet they do.
Very good work, very creative. The tassels were sucking him in.
Yeah, they made the wind stream, and
that's a boss worth killing. Really good quality work. Great work, impressed. Lots of people very positive.
Thanks. I'm very happy to hear that. We put a lot of love into this game. Like people, like we worked on it for a very long time. Some people, you know how people are on the internet, and I'm not taking this stuff personally because it's the internet. But of course, you immediately get all these people that are like, "Yeah, you're grifters," you know, like just making
something.
Yeah, basically, I don't know, people just hate you once you start actually doing something. And I mean, okay, I guess it's possible to make like some low-quality game that's basically just like a political joke or whatever, and then like charge money for it, and okay, but that's not what we're doing here. Like, as you could see, like, we really like put effort into this. And like, for instance, on our team, I don't want to dox anyone, but one of our team worked at a gaming company, and they actually found out that he worked on this game, and he basically lost his job because of that. I mean, it wasn't the only reason, but pretty much because of that. And like, people have sacrificed stuff for this game. Let's put it like that. So we're really happy with how it turned out, and we just really hope people will like it and will have fun with it. And yeah.
Yeah.
And I hope also that we'll reach people outside of our bubble. Like, that's really something we also are trying to achieve here, to get new people to, you know, I don't know, red pill them or whatever.
Yeah, I understand. Get them thinking about these things.
Yeah, yeah.
Show them something that they won't have seen before, a way to look at the world.
And show it to them in a cool way. Like, not like, you know, here is a statistic about IQ distribution or whatever, you know, like all these facts and logic based things that right wingers often like to do, but, you know, something that is captivating.
Some people are asking whether it was made with Unity.
Yes, it was made with Unity, yeah. I don't know if I should go into more detail here.
No, it's okay. Like, I have a technical question.
Yes, please.
At one point, there was a robot voice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you use a vocoder?
Retro Rebel would be, would be the guy to answer that. But I'm pretty sure he did, actually. I know he put a bunch of effects on all these things. Pretty sure he used the vocoder for that. But I'm not. I can't tell you what exactly.
I think it must have been. Yeah, that's great. Now, there were a few questions that occurred to me. I love the name Ernst Laserstorm. Hilarious.
Yeah, we were thinking about something like, like totally over the top. Like, we were inspired a lot by like 80s action movies and like B movies, like schlocky type stuff. So we kind of were going for that, especially with the, in the beginning, we wanted the hero of the game to be like like a black pill doomer type character. Oh, everything is so horrible, and you know, kind of like emo. Then we thought, no, we're just gonna be like high energy, and our character just like is like this action hero guy who just like speaks like in cool one-liners and just wants to shoot bad guys. And yeah.
Well, the Austrian accent is known for one-liners. Thanks.
Exactly. It comes naturally.
Right. Let off some steam.
Yeah, what is it? Hang around or something?
Yeah, hang around. I let him go.
Get to the chopper.
Of course, as the
class. Yeah.
I love how the you said that the music actually speeds up according to what's happening in the game. That's amazing. I do programming myself, so I'm aware of what it takes to do this kind of thing. It's not easy,
and we really want to like, also from a technical point of view, sure, it's just a 2D game, but we nonetheless tried to like push it like also from a technical point of view as far as we could, and like try out new stuff and you know, just make it high quality. And yeah, it's mostly, I mean, from a technical point of view, we are using FMod, which is a library that takes a lot of. It does a lot of that work for you, but again, like I think from what I understand, the real technical difficulty is here in like composing the music in such a way that it's like recombinable, and you can have these transitions that you just fill in at any point. So it really takes some skill, like from a compositional point of view.
Yeah, certainly. And I love the graphics; very cute. Again, it's my era, you know, the early 90s. Great, really nice. And can people help the company? Can people help Cult Games in any way? Is there a way to donate or and so on?
they can help us by buying our game. It will be out on the 1st of February. They can buy it on our website, great-rebellion.com. And they can help us by spreading the word about the game. And one thing, the thing is this, like, we are heavily dependent on you know, right-wing influencers like you to spread the word about the game, because we can't really, you know, we don't have the usual platforms, the usual gaming media. So I'm always very happy if people can recommend us or forward us to people in our spheres that are, or maybe not even so much completely in our spheres, just like streamers, Twitch streamers, maybe, who don't care about political correctness and would play such a game, you know, even if they are maybe not so political themselves. So if you know such people, or if you can recommend us to them or so, that would help, because we just need exposure, baby. Basically.
Of course. Yeah, I understand. I hope that does happen. And you said it'll be out on the 1st of February. That's great. I suppose that's everything that I was going to ask you. So, let me see. Oh, there were a couple of super chats, actually. Cat Hugger. I'm so ready to gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss my way through the game. Hype.
Nice. Total girl boss moment.
She's a German lady that I know quite well.
Speaking of girl bosses, I also want to say that, like, one of our artists, Akramos, who drew the character designs and also some enemy designs and so on. She's also a pretty cool artist, and, you know, everyone should check out her stuff.
Right. Okay. Someone says, "I'm a music producer. Also, would love to get involved in something like this. How do we send in details?" That was what I was going to ask you. I wasn't sure whether to ask if there are any job vacancies at Cult Games.
Basically, you can just write to us on our email, cultgames@protonmail.com. Just write us an email. In general, we definitely are looking for people. We need people for the future if we want to make bigger games, because at the moment, there are some people who are helping with the game, like we are a team, but I'm the only one who does this basically full time at the moment. Everybody else just helps in their spare time, has a day job, and so on. So it's still mostly me who does the actual development. And if we want to grow and make bigger games, we will need more developers. So if anybody who has experience in game development with any game engine, Unity, Unreal, Godot, whatever, just contact us. Also, of course, music production. Sure, of course. Yeah. Like, the thing is, how much we can actually pay anyone in the future will depend on how successful this game will be. That's basically what will make or break the whole thing then. So,
Yeah, I understand. And Kevin says, "I love you. Make a €5 mobile game like Slice and Dice or like Shattered Pixel Dungeon, please. I will even pay €10 for it." Nice. She loves arts. She's very enthusiastic.
Cool. We definitely... The thing is, like, there is a lot of ideas of what we could do after this game. Like, a lot. I personally would like to do a boomer shooter, 3D first-person shooter type game. Or...
Is that what it sounds like?
You don't actually shoot boomers. I mean, I guess, yeah, no, not really. Okay, maybe I should explain what a boomer shooter is before people get wrong ideas here. It's like there is like this classic type of first-person shooter from the late 90s, like Quake, the original Doom, Half-Life, these types of games, Unreal Tournament. And these games have had kind of like a renaissance in the last few years, because they are, of course, played by boomers like me. They're called boomer shooters. That would be something, and they're very popular. And I'm also a big fan of these games. Like, Dusk was a great game in that vein. Or I don't know, like a strategy game. The possibilities are endless. Like a base role-playing game, like a fantasy role-playing game that is not like, overly political, but has like some, you know, like traditional values in it and such things. You could do a lot. So we will have to see how successful this game is, and then we will decide what we can do. Mobile games, in any case, are definitely on our list. Yeah, it's something we would like to do.
All right. And someone else asks, which language is the game written in, and where do we download it? Well, you take it away.
Download, as I said, it will be from February the 1st on, and it will be available on our website, great-rebellion.com. And the program, it was written in the Unity engine, so C# is the programming language I used.
That's difficult to write in C#.
It's still a lot better than C++, how we used to do back in the day. So
okay, and there was one other. Athel asks, just saw your trailer for that 2D platform shooter and I am already sold. This is giving me late 2000s flash game nostalgia. As a zoomer, I will enjoy this.
Nice. Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, yeah, those flash, basically like this late 2000, like 2008, 2009 era was also something that has very much like influenced me in like how I approach game development, because it was the time when like all these indie games that were produced, you know, like by two or three people, very small teams, stuff like Hotline Miami and Super Meat Boy and so on, when all that stuff came became popular and there was like this big, you know, search in indie games, and that's kind of still always what I'm like aiming for. Yeah, so I guess it's not coincidental.
And somebody asked about the parallax scrolling. I don't know what he's asked, what he wants you to say about the parallax scrolling. But,
we have it. It's in the game.
It's a cool thing. It's an era.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's kind of funny because Unity is, of course, actually a 3D engine, but you fake it by like using a special type of camera that only like that doesn't do perspective. And then you make all these 3D objects look like they are 2D objects, even though they are actually in a 3D space. And then you use some trickery to move all these 3D objects on the 2D plane in a different speed to simulate 3D again. So it's like very roundabout to do this stuff in a modern day 3D engine. It's kind of funny, but yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
It looks good, yeah. It's an easy way. It's like parallax scrolling is really easy to do, basically, and it automatically makes everything look so much better.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Well, let's leave it at that. Let's keep it nice and short and sweet. A nice advert for the game. You say it's coming out on the 1st of February. People can download it from your website. That will be linked below if it isn't already. I think it is. Yes. Yes. Okay. I'll add the actual website to there. But your Twitter and Telegram and Gab are there. So, all right. Well, great stuff. It looks really cool and cute and funny and fun. So, yeah, congratulations. I know that it's been a difficult year for you. You've had other challenges to deal with. So
I definitely had. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go too much into detail, but I've had some health issues. But I'm doing better now, and I think it's all going to be fine.
Yeah, it's a really good achievement, I think.
It's also one of the reasons why it took longer. We originally wanted to be done with the game way earlier, but yeah, it was about more than half a year where I couldn't really do much work.
Yeah.
Right. But it's all
well done. All
good now in the end. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And good luck with it. I wish you the best.
Let's see.
Okay. Well, I'll leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll add.
Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're very welcome. I'll add the URL. People can go there, 1st of February, and I hope it does well. Okay, in the meantime, Roland from Cult Games, thank you for appearing on Millennial 2023.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
See ya.
We hope you're enjoying Millennial. The journey must continue, but it needs your help. Bitcoin, Ethereum, Monero, and other cryptocurrencies are all very welcome. Find the info at millennial.com/crypto and make your donation. Millennial amounts to 3 months of work for the vile vlogger. Please help him continue. Until next time, enjoy the journey and spread the word.